In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have one of those, a guy dies and goes to heaven jokes. Maybe you've heard it before. Actually, it was three guys who die and arrive at the pearly gates all at the same time. St. Peter tells them that none of them are supposed to enter, but he's in a sporting mood, and he's going to ask each of them a question, and if they answer it right, they can go into heaven. So he says to the first guy, "What was the worst nautical disaster of all time?" And the guy thinks for a minute, and he says, "The Titanic?" And St. Peter says, "You're right, you can go into heaven." So he says to the second guy, "How many people died when the Titanic sank?" And the guy racks his brain, and he seems to remember somewhere reading that it was 1,217. So he guesses, 1,217? And St. Peter says, "Yes, you're right, you get to go in." And St. Peter looks at the third guy and says, "Name them all." Heaven is especially on my mind today because our second reading from the Revelation gives us a graphic description of heaven, including those famous pearly gates. I'm also thinking about heaven today because there have been several best-selling books written by people who claim to have gone to heaven and came back to tell us about it. These are popular, I believe, because people sincerely want to know what happens beyond the grave. I find that a lot of people are hungry for information about heaven and the afterlife. In many ways, death is still a taboo subject for us. It's not something that we talk about very much, even in sermons or Sunday school classes. And churches seem to have an emphasis these days on addressing the here and now. People used to say about Christians, they're so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. And we tried to fix that. And maybe the pendulum has swung too far. So we've abdicated teaching people about death and heaven and kind of given that over to the media, to TV and movies, and often what we see there is very far from the biblical idea. So what do we believe? It sounds extremely elementary to have to say it, but we Lutheran Christians do believe in an afterlife. I feel obligated to say that because I have known Christians who have said things like, "Well, nobody really knows what happens after we die. Nobody really knows that there's a heaven. We have all those books. We don't know if they're true. We don't know what to believe." To the contrary, Jesus did come from heaven to earth, and then he died and rose again and went back again. Jesus himself is proof positive that there is life after death for the Christian. We have that. And we have this extraordinary revelation given to St. John, the second reading today. Many non-Christian religions and philosophies also teach about an afterlife. In this case, these schools of thought have come to a partly right, but not entirely right conclusion based on some faulty, sketchy evidence. There is nothing innately immortal about the human soul. There is no logical or scientific reason that people must live on after death. There is no cycle of reincarnations. That eternal life after death is possible is only because of what God does for us. The afterlife is not a given, it's a gift. So what is heaven like? Our only reliable source of information about heaven is the Bible. Someone once said that the Bible is like an acronym. B-I-B-L-E stands for Basic Instruction Before Leaving Earth. We must trust God's word more than we trust any human being's accounts of their visions or their near-death experiences. I suppose that insofar as one experiences agree with Scripture and affirm our faith, that's a good thing. I've had a couple experiences that were like near-death experiences myself, but I don't put my faith in them. We cannot say more about heaven than Scripture says. And to be candid, what Scripture says may strike many of us as a little sparse. As we've said many times, the Bible tells us what we need to know and maybe not everything that we'd like to know. The Bible talks about heaven in most places in rather general terms, and the images that it uses to describe heaven may sound kind of strange to us. We don't get pictures like Google Earth shows of our planet. That is because the reality of heaven is so far beyond anything we've known before. To try to imagine heaven is like trying to imagine a number after infinity. Just can't be done. We don't have the mental hardware for that. I think the author of the Revelation is trying to put into words sights that are beyond human comprehension, things that are just too beautiful for words. We don't know for sure from the what we do know for sure, I should say, what we absolutely know for sure, is that heaven is a real place and we will have real physical bodies there. We don't lose our individual identities and meld into some kind of cosmic consciousness. And these bodies will be glorious resurrection bodies, not like the bodies we have now. We will be healthy in every way there, healthy in body, mind, and spirit, with no disease, no anxiety, no evil thoughts, no temptations to disturb us there. It is something for us to look forward to. And what we are looking forward to is not floating around on clouds playing harps. Heaven will be an active place for us. There will be things for us to do. All that we'll be doing, we don't know yet. But one thing we do know is that we are going to celebrate our blessedness together. We will recognize and know one another in heaven. Heaven will be like a great party, like a family reunion of God's family. And as great as seeing our loved one in heaven is going to be, moreover in heaven, we will be supremely happy because we will see God as he is face to face. Here on earth, God only comes to us veiled in word, in sacrament. That's all we can handle right now. But in the afterlife, no mediation will be necessary. All will be eternal bliss. That's all we really need to know at this time. God will fill in all the details later. So does that sound good? Do you want to go to heaven? Are you afraid that you aren't going to make it? Are you going to go home and memorize those 1,217 names of people who were on the Titanic? Don't bother. Christ already won your salvation for you. Are you a baptized believer? Do you have faith in Christ? Then your ticket's punched. You've got your boarding pass. You're heaven bound. Don't worry. Be confident. Rest assured. But while we're still here on earth, it's good for us to think about the afterlife. That helps keep us on the path to heaven. People who don't think much about heaven also tend not to think very much about their lives on earth either. They stray into all sorts of trouble. Losing our focus on heaven puts us in danger. If we are here on earth, that means God has something for us to do here. Sometimes people, especially people in pain, will say to me, "Pastor, why am I still alive? Why doesn't God just take me? And my answer is always, God must have a reason for you to be here. You have a purpose. We might not know what it is right now, but we can be sure that there is one. And it could be that your purpose is to let others love you and care for you as they would serve Christ himself. God is using you to teach others about his love. We don't need to rush to get to heaven. Jesus will take us home to heaven soon enough. You know, maybe there isn't as sharp a boundary between heaven and earth as it seems. Well, as we said, heaven is a definite place, and while this earth is definitely not heaven, the paradox is that it is also true that heaven is wherever God's saints are. As a baptized child and saint of God, your presence makes any place more heavenly. Heaven is also where God is worshiped. So we are in a heaven sent, we are in a sense in heaven right now in the divine service. And in heaven, there is perfect faith. Wherever the faith is proclaimed, there is heaven. You aren't going to get much closer to heaven while you're on this earth than you are at this very minute. So, you heavenly and heaven-bound saints of God, let us prepare to confess our true faith very soon. Amen.